This morning we're just going to look at a short teaching of Jesus that only takes three short verses. But as always, the things that Jesus says has great depth and insight into the human heart. As I looked at these three verses, I gave it the title, Beware of Pride. A more accurate description of these verses might be, Beware of the pride of religious leaders, because that's really what Jesus talks about in this passage. But because pride is a common problem with all people, I decided to just say, beware of pride. Pride often goes undetected in our lives. And pride has been the downfall of many men and women. Pride caused King Nebuchadnezzar to lose his kingdom for 7 years. Pride caused King Herod to lose his life. Pride caused King Belshazzar to lose both his kingdom and his life. So what is pride? From the Dictionary of Oxford Languages, it is defined in this way, a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. That definition would not imply a good or bad attitude, just as a sense of well-being because of what has been accomplished. But there is a different kind of pride. In Mark chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus says that pride is one of the evil things that proceeds from the heart of man. The word Jesus uses in that verse refers to an attitude of arrogance or disdain for others. And so from that perspective, Jesus tells us to beware of pride. Generally speaking, it's not good to think too highly of ourselves, nor is it good to love attention, money, praise, respect, or status. To love these things will deceive us into thinking that we're better than others. And loving those things will rob us of our love for God. Jesus directed harsh criticism towards the scribes who unashamedly both loved and possessed those things. The words of Jesus are helpful for us today. Beware. God promises to bring down the proud and to exalt the humble. And so hopefully, as we look at this passage today, we will be reminded of the benefits of a lost character quality, humility. The passage we're looking at today took place on the Tuesday before Jesus was arrested, crucified, and rose from the dead. He had been teaching in the temple all day long. He had been approached by the religious leaders. They tried to trap him, humiliate him, embarrass him. And, of course, Jesus turned the tables and they were the ones that were embarrassed and humiliated. But let's look at the passage together. It's found in Mark chapter 12. And we're going to begin with just verse 38 and read 39 and 40. And if you don't have your Bible, you can grab the Bible in front of you. And in the rack, we call that the rack Bible. And you'll find this on page 910. Page 910, you'll find it on the bottom right hand of the page. Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 38. Please follow along as I read it. It says, in his teaching, he was saying, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Those are pretty strong words. And when you think that Jesus said that and the scribes were standing there right in front of him, it was a pretty gutsy thing to say, because the scribes were very important people in the Jewish culture of that day. We've talked about the scribes several times as we have gone through the book of Mark. There were no copy machines or printers during the time of Jesus, so everything had to be copied by hand. And the scribes were the ones who copied the scriptures as well as the Jewish traditions. Because the scribes copied the scriptures and the the Jewish laws and traditions, they were considered experts on the scriptures, and they were considered experts on the Jewish traditions as well. The scriptures were considered the laws of God, and so because the scribes knew and copied the laws of God, well, they were often called lawyers. And they also copied legal documents and accomplished legal transactions, much as lawyers do today. It's important to notice that in this passage, Jesus doesn't criticize all scribes. He only criticizes those scribes who like to walk around in long robes, who like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, those who like the best seats in the synagogue and the best seats at the banquets. He's only criticizing those who devour widows, and we'll talk about what that means, and those who, for appearance sake, offer long prayers. I'm sure there were some scribes who would have preferred to walk around in civilian clothes, especially in the marketplaces. I'm sure there were worthy scribes who were embarrassed by the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. I'm sure there were those who would have liked to just attend church or the synagogue and just sit in the pew like normal people, or go to a banquet and just be able to come and enjoy the entertainment and talk with friends. And I'm sure there were at least a few scribes who were fair and helpful to widows. And I'm sure there were those who prayed sincere, heartfelt prayers. But let's face it, for the most part, during the time of Jesus, most of the scribes were arrogant religious leaders who considered themselves better than others and who used religion for personal gain. And I think we should realize that there are religious leaders like that today. There are pastors, preachers, televangelists like that today. And we should beware. And if I ever get like that, I hope you'll come up and slap me in the face or something. And so Jesus says in verse 38, "Beware of the scribes." Now there was a brilliant German Lutheran New Testament scholar named Joachim Jeremias, who is no longer alive, but he wrote a book called Jerusalem in the Time of Jesus. And from that book that we have a lot of information about the culture and specifically about the scribes. And so it's some of those things that I'm going to share with you this morning. It kind of helps us understand what Jesus meant when he said what he said about the scribes. First of all, he says, "Beware of those scribes who like to walk around in long robes." Now, during the time of Jesus, you could spot a scribe from a mile away. And the reason is because they wore these long white linen robes that reached to his feet, and they were hemmed with a long white fringe. So they stood out wherever they went. And no one else wore a robe like the scribes. Most of the common folks actually wore bright colors. You know, you watch the movies of Jesus and it always shows the common folks, you know, wearing drab, dirty robes or, you know, a brown and black, but that's really not the case. The ancient culture, the people loved color and they wore colorful clothes and bright fabrics with beautiful designs. But these white robes was a contrast to that and different from the normal people. And the scribes wore them to bring attention to themselves. And that's really kind of the warning here. People who dress just to bring attention to themselves. And so these scribes would walk around in these bright, clean, white robes separated from the general populace. All that is to say, they wore the robe in order to build their self-importance. The white robes identified them as special, set apart for their most important work of copying and teaching the scriptures. And remember, this was a very religious culture. And because the scriptures were highly respected, so these scribes were highly respected. Verse 38, he says, "Beware of the scribes who like the respectful greetings in the marketplaces." So in other words, they would walk around town, and as they walked to the market, as they went to, you know, to the grocery store, they loved the respect that they garnered from the people. During the time of Jesus, when a scribe walked by, all the people would rise. Can you imagine that? When the scribe passed by, the people would rise as a sign of respect. Only the tradesmen who were at work were exempt. They were greeted respectfully as rabbi, which means my great one or master. Sometimes they were greeted with the term father. It was because of this greeting to the scribe that Jesus said in Luke 23, verse 9, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." You know, I remember when I first read that verse, like, what do you mean I can't refer to my dad as my father? And of course, Jesus, during the time of Jesus, they didn't call their dads fathers. They called them dad or daddy. And father was kind of a high and exalted term. And Jesus is saying, use that high and exalted term for your heavenly father. But people used it for the scribes. And it was a misplaced honor in the eyes of Jesus. But the scribes loved that. They loved that honor. They loved that respect. And they viewed being more important than others as something wonderful in their life. Then verse 39, it says, "Beware of the scribes who like the best seats in the synagogues." Now, when the scribes went to the synagogue, which is, you know, the Jewish church, the scribes would sit up on the platform right in front of everybody. And they would face the audience. And, of course, they would have their best white robes on. And they loved being the center of attention. They loved having everyone look at them, seeing their scripture boxes on their head. The scribes wore scripture boxes on the head, which, again, was a sign of Bible knowledge. They sat in the place of the highest honor in the synagogue, facing the congregations with their backs against the chest that held the Torah. Now, the Torah was the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And, of course, they were the ones who would stand up and read the scriptures to everyone else. During the time of Jesus, one of the big forms of entertainment was a feast. And whenever a wealthy person put on a feast, they made sure that a scribe would be invited so that the event would have some air of importance. And of course, the scribes would have the seat of honor, either to the right or to the left of the host at the feast. During the time of Jesus, the scribes were honored above the aged. The scribes were even honored above their own parents, which was a huge exception in that ancient culture. Then in verse 40 it says, "Beware of those scribes who devour widows' houses." Like, what does that mean? Well, when a man died, there was then, as there is today, an estate to be settled. And because the scribes were the lawyers, they would come in and take care of the legal aspects of settling the estate and settling things to pay off creditors. The scribes would settle the matters of a man's estate, taking a huge cut in the sale of the property or of the legal matters that had to be taken care of, and often would leave the widow penniless. In the ancient world, women were the vulnerable of society. They, for the most part, had no knowledge of legal matters or any sense of the value of things. And so they would often be taken advantage of, especially when their husband died. And specifically, they were taken advantage of by the scribes, these lawyers, who would literally devour the wealth of the family so that the widow had little or nothing left. Religious leaders who should set the example for caring for the vulnerable often crush the needy for their own gain. And that's what the scribes did. James 1, verse 27 says this, "This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So God says that as His followers, we are to care for the vulnerable, care for widows and orphans, But the scribes were doing just the opposite, cheating widows because they were easy to cheat. And then he says, beware of the scribes who, for appearance sake, offer long prayers. So in other words, they didn't really pray to God. They just prayed to put on a show. And so here's these scribes, these religious leaders, ignoring the vulnerable, and then trying to justify themselves by giving these long prayers, which were not really directed towards God. They were just trying to impress other people by their elegant words. Or they were trying to impress others by praying long prayers, thinking that if they could show that they have a lot to say to God, that they must be closer to God than other people. So in other words, their prayers were just a show. And so Jesus is saying, beware of religious leaders who are just putting on a show. Beware of anyone who's just putting on a show when they pray. And then in verse 40, it says, the religious prideful or the prideful will receive greater condemnation. These words of Jesus give us insight into the works of God. God, who is the judge of all the earth, will bring judgment on every person. It is a sobering thought. It is a sobering truth to realize that each one of us will have to stand before Almighty God and give an account for the things we've done, the things we've said, and even the things that we've thought and the attitudes that we've had. And Jesus is saying that these religious leaders will face greater condemnation. And so we learn from this one phrase that there are degrees of judgment and condemnation. Now, why were these religious leaders going to face greater condemnation? Well, because they were supposed to set an example. Because religious leaders are supposed to be humble and show the rest of us how to truly honor God. And the reason this is important for us to think about is because we as Christians are supposed to set an example to the unbelieving world. We're supposed to set an example as to what it means to know God and to honor Him. And so instead of bringing attention to ourselves, we should always bring attention to God. And of course, now we're not scribes and don't receive the type of honor that the scribes did, but we always have to be aware that to the unbelieving world, we are the religious people. To the unbelieving world, they look to us as those who at least say they know God. And we need to remember that prideful people are thieves. What do I mean by that? People who are prideful are stealing honor and attention that really belongs to God. Why? Because the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So because every good thing comes from God, the truth is none of us have anything to be proud of. And so the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? Think about that for a few minutes. What do you have that you did not receive? In other words, God has given us everything that we have. We didn't pick our parents, the place or time or when we were born, the mental abilities that we have, the talents that we have, the physical structures that we have, the opportunities that we've had, the times and events in our life have all come from God. And that's why the Apostle Paul follows up that phrase, what do you have that you did not receive? He says then, And if you did receive it, in other words, if you did receive anything from God, why do you boast as if you had not received it? In other words, why do you act as if you did it all on your own? In other words, why do you boast that you accomplished everything on your own? Everything that we have comes from God. And that is true of both believers and unbelievers. Although unbelievers may not acknowledge that everything they have comes from God, that's the truth. Everything anyone has comes from God. So really, none of us have anything to boast about or to be proud about. So let's talk about a few points of application. First of all, don't try to be better than others. And yes, we may not be well-known, important, religious leaders, but again, we are followers of Christ. And the unbelieving world looks to us to represent Almighty God. And we need to realize that there's no sense in even thinking about being better than someone else, because we all have equal value before God. Everyone is precious to God. And if this is new to you, I want you to know that God loves you and that you are precious to Him. And He values and loves everyone in the world. That's why Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God proved His love for us. He proved that we all have value by visiting us from heaven and dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He offers salvation to all who are willing to repent and trust Him as Savior and Lord. I would encourage you to trust Him to save you from your sins today if you've never turned to Him and trusted Him. And then secondly, another application from this passage is, again, to see our need to walk humbly before God. You know, a humble person is just a person who recognizes what is true. And here's what's true. God is God and we are not. And that's the truth. And here's the truth about pride. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we all fly away." Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor." In other words, pride is really a shame to us. It's a shame to be a thief, to steal something that belongs to God. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, "Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low." Now here's the truth about humility. Proverbs 29 verse 23 says, "A humble spirit will obtain honor." Think about that for a few minutes. All of us admire and look up to humble people. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says this, and this is a great verse, and I love these passages where Almighty God speaks. And so here's Almighty God speaking, and this is what He says to Isaiah, "To this one I will look." Now, just stop right there and think for a minute. Do you want God to look at you? Well, here's what God says. "To this one I will look. To him who has a humble and contrite, to someone who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." In other words, God looks at the person who values God's word more than his own words. Someone who's willing to humble themselves and listen to God. Someone who's willing to admit that they don't have all the answers. Someone who's willing to humble themselves and follow God and obey Him. Someone who's willing to admit that, no, they're not God. And they're not in control of their future. Only God is. Jesus, the Son of God and King of Heaven, was humble. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29 says this. Jesus is speaking and Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't that what we all want? rest for our souls. And then there is a passage that was read this morning from Peter, the disciple of Jesus, who spent every day with Jesus for 3 years. And he writes to the church, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. God cares for each one of us. And so another application of this passage would be to just stop and pause and ask God to examine our hearts. Recognize any pride in your life. You know, pride in our life often goes undetected. We think, I deserve this or I deserve that. Or it's that other person's fault. Ask God to examine your heart. Recognize pride in your life and repent of it. Now, in the notes, it was my fault, a misprint. It says, under the application, it says, recognize sin in your life. It means, it should read, recognize pride in your life and repent of it. Now, here's one word of advice. When you finally get humble, don't get proud about it. You know, we get proud about everything, right? You know, there's this joke about these two guys who are standing before the gates of heaven. And Gabriel comes out. You know, it's always Gabriel. He always comes out. And so he says, okay, guys, there's only room for one more. So which one of you is the most humble? They would both have to say, he is. Humility is a valuable character quality. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that we have nothing to brag about. We thank you for reminding us of what is true, that you are God and we are not, and that everything we have comes from you. And so, Lord, we pray that we will have grateful hearts for all that you've done for us, grateful hearts for all that you've done in our life, grateful heart for all that you've given to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would dress in such a way to bring honor to you, that we would speak in such a way to bring honor to you, that we would act in such a way to bring attention to you, and that we would rejoice in knowing that you are the one who deserves all praise and honor and respect. And so, Lord, guard our hearts. Give us the grace to be alert to pride in our life whenever it raises its ugly head. And give us the grace, Lord, to walk humbly before you with grateful hearts. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.